Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining me. I'm Sterling Bridges, and this is the special pilot episode of the Buffalo Creek Wrestling Podcast. The first official episode will still be coming next month, so wherever you are, for whatever reason, thank you for listening today. First and foremost, I'm a wrestling fan. Whether it's in a stadium in front of 100,000 people or in a high school gym in front of 25 people, and it just doesn't matter where, because I love wrestling and I have all my life. Like, I think my first real wrestling memory would have been around 2001 or 2 when I was in, like, first grade. And it included watching the on-screen team, Too Cool. So Scotty Chuhati then pretty much instantly became my first favorite wrestler. And my best friend Forrest back then showed me wrestling for the first time ever. We would always pretend like we were the Hardy Boys, though, actually, wrestling on the trampoline and in the backyard and whatnot. So anyway, this podcast is just it's really an excuse for me to talk about wrestling some more with you. And, you know, let me know if you agree with my opinions or not. Maybe even come on the show and we can watch some wrestling or whatever and discuss it too. My name, Buffalo Creek, and that's kind of a local thing. It's supposed to be the English translation of the Native American word Waxahachie, which is my hometown in Texas. It's also the home to some incredible wrestling, and the treasure of Waxahachie wrestling really is the world-beloved Killer Tim Brooks, who is still running shows to this day, actually, at 72 years old. Seriously, I can't even start with his endless accomplishments and accolades in the world-class championship wrestling and in the NWA and everywhere. He's trained Keith Lee, and just do yourself a favor looking him up. He's done big-time pro wrestling and the North American Wrestling Allegiance here, too. So just using the name Buffalo Creek and representing an awesome place like my hometown and its wrestling history, it's such a cool deal for me. And I think I'm going to start out talking about how right now our country is going through a really awful time with the COVID-19 and coronavirus pandemic. It's a really terrible and unpredictable time. There's people all over the world not only being infected, but also dying from this virus. And art is out there for those of y'all who are going through this in any way. The wrestling world, personally, it's been really affected by it because we've seen all the empty arena shows the likes of AEW and WWE are doing. And, you know, Impact and ROH and NJPW and everyone's rescheduling and canceling these huge shows. You know, I was personally looking most forward to the TNA comeback special that Impact was going to do. You know, that was my favorite growing up, watching TNA with Chris Sabin and Raven and Jeff Jarrett, AJ Styles, Christian Cage, Shark Boy, Stone Cold Shark Boy at that. But, yeah, and you know, on social media, you've seen that because of coronavirus and COVID-19, that a lot of these independent wrestlers, they're out of jobs, and it's a scary time. So please support your favorite wrestlers and promotions by donating, pitching in, and you know, wherever you can, buying the merch and doing because all that stuff, it really goes straight to the independent wrestlers' pockets for the most part. You know, a lot of these people are looking for other ways to make money. You can see that on their social medias and stuff. You know, because we're all in this self-quarantine, shelter-in-place deal. So we gotta stick together, show our support where we can. And on another note, I think something that has brought the planet together in these trying times is Netflix with the documentary Tiger King, Murder, Mayhem, and Madness. I think probably 99% of America has seen that at least by now. you know, we're all being trapped at home and binge watching. So we know all about Joe Exotic and Carl Baskin and Doc Antle and all those guys. But what you might not know is that Joe Exotic, yes, the Tiger King himself, has ties to professional wrestling. You can see for yourself on the Instagrams of Robert Stone and on the Twitter of Tommy Becker and from a lot of other wrestling personalities. And see, he actually co-promoted something called NWA Texoma in Oklahoma. You can see that on his personal websites and on YouTube, and you know, you just have to look it up. It's ridiculous. And but yeah, interestingly enough, Joe's a mark. He's one of us. Now I'm a. I also thought, since this is a special pilot episode, the debut episode's gonna include a review of WrestleMania, the first ever two-night no audience WrestleMania. So I'm going to start with the, I think obviously the big one is going to be Brock Lesnar versus Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre cashing in his Royal Rumble victory. Unfortunately, I do not think he's going to succeed. I think that Brock Lesnar is going to retain the WWE Championship over Drew McIntyre. For me, just being a longtime watcher, like I said all my life, I think it's obvious that, you know, they let Drew McIntyre eliminate Lesnar at the Rumble, and he's looking all big and mighty, taking out everybody every week, and, you know, I think it's just obvious he's just acting too untouchable, too tough. You know, I don't think that's going to work out for him in the long run. And, next, that... you know, there's rumors that Roman Reigns won't even be at WrestleMania, given his own immune system problems. I can understand that and don't blame him at all. But I will judge the match as if he was going to be in it. And I think that if he were, that he would win over Goldberg in their Universal Championship match. And the crowd actually might cheer for him for once. But, like I said, doesn't seem like he's going to be there. I heard he's being replaced with someone from NXT, actually. But I'm trying to avoid spoilers as much as I can. I'm a wrestling fan, first and foremost, and WrestleMania is one of those things that I don't want spoiled for me. So I'm just going to see what happens next week when I tune in. And... let's see, another one that I think's obvious. Even though, if you've seen the Ruthless Aggression TV show that's on the WWE Network, I think it's really awesome. And it made me love John Cena a lot, a lot. And, but he's not gonna win over The Fiend. I think they're even gonna wrestle in something called a, some kind of playhouse of funhouse, The Fiend thing. So, yeah, The Fiend is definitely gonna beat John Cena. And, you know, John Cena wants to be a movie star or whatever it seems like these days. Anyway, so, good for him if he wants to pass the torch. Because The Fiend deserves it. He was done really wrong when he had to lose the Universal title to Goldberg in Saudi Arabia a few weeks ago. That was a tragedy. And number four, we have Becky Lynch versus Shayna Baszler. Becky Lynch has been the Raw Women's Champion for a year now, since she won it at last year's WrestleMania, making history, actually, being in the first ever all-women's main event at WrestleMania 35, beating Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey. But now she'll be losing her title to Shayna Baszler, I think. The Queen of Spades will be your new Raw Women's Champion. Number five, next, Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley for the NXT title. Charlotte Flair, for the first time ever, she is cashing in her Royal Rumble victory, and she's challenging Rhea Ripley for the NXT title. This is a tough one for me to decide, For one, Rhea deserves her moment, her WrestleMania moment. But Charlotte, she could really bring some eyes over to NXT. So I'm going to have to go with my gut and say Charlotte will be the better woman. I mean, she ended Asuka's undefeated streak at WrestleMania 3 years ago, so really wouldn't make sense if she lost now. The sixth prediction is for the SmackDown Fatal 5-Way match for the Women's Championship. Out of Tamina, Sasha Banks, Bayley, Lacey Evans, and Naomi, I personally think Tamina is going to break through. She's going to finally get her push as a dominant key player in the SmackDown Live Women's Division. You know, I have a... No, never mind. I'll get back to that. And so I think Tamina will break through finally. She well deserves it. And I want to say Sasha Banks, that she would have won, but it's just not her time yet. I think her and Bayley are still going to feud for a while. Number 7, The Undertaker versus AJ Styles. I think The Undertaker is going to defeat AJ Styles. And we all know about the streak. It's devastating that The Undertaker had his undefeated WrestleMania streak and lost to Brock Lesnar. I hate that a lot. And now, since then, that was several years ago, but since then, Undertaker's new record at WrestleMania is 24-2. He's lost against Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. So still 24-2. That's just ridiculous odds, and you just can't bet against The Undertaker at WrestleMania. So I think he's going to defeat AJ Styles. They're also going to wrestle in something called like a Boneyard match. So yeah, I'd say the odds are in the dead man's favor. Next, Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins. You know, after Raw this week, I thought Rollins may win with his underhanded ways, you know, the Monday Night Messiah with his crew with Murphy and AOP and stuff, but he was really laying into Kevin Owens by how much of like a loser he is, and how he's Seth Rollins is some kind of god under pressure, and how WrestleMania is his time to shine. So I thought he was packing it on way too much. So I think Kevin Owens is going to beat Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. And I hope so, especially because Kevin Owens is a... They want him to be seen as a face, which you might... If you're not a big wrestling fan listening, that's the good guy. So, essentially, I think it's a perfect recipe, Kevin Owens being the super good guy and Seth Rollins being this dastardly heel. I think Kevin Owens might even fight off Murphy and AOP, so he'll look even stronger and even more like a superhero. So yeah, I think Kevin Owens is gonna come out on top on that one. So next we have the SmackDown Tag Team Championship match. I think the New Day are gonna come out on top over Miz and Morrison. For one, growing up when I did, I'm 26 now, so when I was, in middle school, The Miz and John Morrison, they were SmackDown Tag Team Champions then too, and they were on the WWE CW brand, and they were awesome. Big time heels, so super nostalgic for my own childhood, and I wish they would win, but I think they have their own singles careers still to go, and the New Day kind of always win. And, you know, they'll probably, maybe Xavier Woods will come back. That'd be awesome. So, having him beat them and him bring the tag team titles home, that'd be pretty cool. So, I think the New Day are gonna win. Next, we have the Raw tag team titles. The Street Profits defending against Andrade and Angel Garza. That's a tough one, too, but I'm not done with the Profits. Run with the belts. I love them, so... Yeah, I'm going with Montez Ford, Angelo Dawkins, because you just, when it comes down to that kind of thing, you just can't bet against who you want to win, like the Street Profits. So they're going to defend and retain the championships over Garza in Andrade. We reach now our final five matches out of 15 that I know of that are announced. So, and, you know, I was thinking about it, and it'd be pretty cool to get some people in on this. You know, I could even customize a toy belt, use it for the show here, and whoever walks away with the most correct predictions, they could be like the BCW champion, you know. So that'd be cool. I would definitely, you'd get a real belt, that's for sure. And so, five matches left. We have King Corbin, who I think will defeat Elias. I love Elias. I definitely walk with Elias. That's what WWE stands for. But, you know, they're just pushing Corbin so hard as the king. And granted, he has crazy talent. You know, he's one of those who give him the gimmick or give him the character. I mean, he was the lone wolf, and I loved him then, and now he's just full-blown heel and killing it. Killing it as a bad guy. I mean, you cannot find one person who will not boo him out of the building if they have the opportunity, which is awesome. You know, he's got real, real heat. So next, which is going to be it's going to be the match of the night, probably. I was such a big fan of Rated RKO. I remember one time my dad taking me out of school, and we went to Monday Night Raw, and I was a kid, and it was so cool seeing Carlito, Chris Masters, and all these guys. So awesome. And he was asking me if I wanted to have a sign, you know, a sign to bring. And I'm like, sure, you know. So we're trying to decide who, and I want a Rated RKO sign. And my daddy's like, why would you want to cheer for the bad guys? And I'm like, I can't explain it. But as we all know, Edge and Randy Orton went on to be one of the great tag teams of the whole generation. So for Edge to have come back in the Royal Rumble, which I called, man, I should have started this podcast sooner, because I guessed that Edge was going to return at the Royal Rumble. I also said that Jushin and Thunder Liger would be in the Royal Rumble, but also be in the Hall of Fame. I was half right there, which is, I mean, not bad. Not bad. And but Edge versus Randy Orton. Edge has come back. He had to retire like 11 years ago or something like that. Man, it was devastating. Wasn't a dry eye in the house when he retired. Had to leave the title behind, but he's coming back to face his longtime friend slash enemy slash tag team partner, frenemy. And, man, that's a hard one to decide, because you know Edge, he's the wrestler, so he wants to do what's best for the show, and I'm sure he would love to put over. He would love to have his last match against Randy Orton, his longtime close friend in real life. But I know Randy Orton, too, and he's got a lot of pull. I mean, as much as Edge, both of them. But I'm sure he doesn't want to walk away on top. I'm sure he wants Edge to win, too. So I'm just going to have to say, with the way Randy's been freaking RKOing the whole planet, including Edge's wife, Beth Phoenix, Edge is going to walk away as the last man standing, and he's gonna beat Randy Orton. Next, for the Intercontinental Championship, I think, although it'll be through deceitful means, Sami Zayn's going to come out on top over Daniel Bryan, because, you know, that'll continue Sami Zayn being this big-time heel with Shinsuke and Cesaro, and, you know, being dastardly. And Daniel Bryan will get to continue his training under Drew Gulak and with Chad Gable or Shorty G, whatever it is. If you haven't seen that, you should go on their Twitters and their social medias, because that is just hilarious. Daniel Bryan, the student of Drew Gulak. And they have Chad Gable with them now. It's hilarious. And for the matchup between
Bobby Lashley and Aleister Black for one. I hope that match gets to be performed to its fullest extent, you know, like 20 minutes or longer, whatever, because these are two guys who deserve way better creatively than they've received in WWE. I mean, for one, Bobby Lashley, we all thought that he was going to take the title off Brock Lesnar years ago. And Aleister, the whole knock on his door, God, that's annoying. But I think these two are going to maybe even steal the night, because they have a lot to prove still, and they deserve more. They just do. So I think, unfortunately, Bobby Lashley is stuck in this really dumb thing with Lana. So Aleister Black, he's going to come out on top. I mean, I think he might even still be undefeated, maybe. Aleister Black, so yeah. And finally, the probably not the main event, not the last match of the night, but the last match of my predictions, is the greatest feud we've seen in months, maybe years, and that is Otis defending his honor against Dolph Ziggler. I can't wait. I surely could not bet against my boy Otis, who's going to be defending his honor and his love for Mandy Rose. She stood him up on Valentine's Day and has aligned with Ziggler now. And I just love Otis too much, and could not bet against him at all if my life depended on it. So there you have it. Otis is going to come out on top over Dolph Ziggler and finally show Mandy Rose what she's been missing. I'll post all of those as well, all of those reviews on my social media as well. And like I said, if any of y'all want to jump in, I'll leave the template up for y'all just to pick if you want, and whoever comes out on top, whoever wins, you're going to get a belt, for real. And but you're going to have to defend it at the next big pay-per-view or event or whatever. It's not just going to be WWE. And next we have our, to give a little shout-out to this local promotion for my 26th birthday a few weeks ago. My fiance, she took me to an event called VIPX, Killin' Da Business. Which VIPX? It's the extreme version of the company, VIP. And by, this by far, this was the coolest and most gruesome night I've ever seen. For one, Masada and Andy Dalton went to hell and back in a fans bring your own weapons street fight. I, for one, brought a pair of Crocs on a belt and eggs. People brought a giant pencil and all these balloons and firecrackers and crazy shit. Rubber chickens, and they did not disappoint the people of, Haltom City. They did not disappoint bringing weapons for that. We saw Sue Young and The Dangerous Dame, a.k.a. The Dangerous One, a.k.a. Alabama, got thrown off the top of the staircase. Off the top, it was in a bar. The top, the second deck part, that was nuts. The whole night was incredible and bloody. And you can find most of these matches on YouTube and the VIP website. Barrett Brown, their champion. No spoilers, defense against Homicide of LAX and ROH fame. Just Incredible was there. Man, that dude killed it. The crowd went on. Thank you, Justin. I mean, he was on his hands and knees bowing to us. It was beautiful. The tag team champions are Crime Time. Alex Shelley was there. He wrestled against Isaiah Thomas and Will All Day in a great triple threat match. You can see highlights of these on my Twitter and Instagram, but you can go to the official VIP website and see most of the full matches. Shane Taylor, Lou Gotti, Warren Jay, Nick Gage, Byron Anthos, Jackson Stone, the list goes on. And check out a VIP show in North Texas, DFW area, for some really quality wrestling. I mean, it's the best. Coincidentally, my dad took me for my 21st birthday to a VIP show. It wasn't VIPX, just VIP, and it was in in front of like 40 people in a little hotel auditorium room. And everyone that we saw there is in WWE or somewhere huge now. I mean, ACH, Keith Lee, War Machine, aka Viking Raiders, Roderick Strong. It's a really legit place. Always quality. I'm going to be wrapping up soon, actually. I'm watching... excuse me. I'm working on this playlist called The Best Wrestling Songs. I'm going to pick one for an episode just for you guys to listen to if you wanted to. They're songs that... They could be theme songs or just video game songs or whatever, just related to wrestling. And, you know, please send in a DM, one of your own, if you want me to listen to it or mention it on here. I'd be happy to. The song of this episode, it is going to be Bowling for Soup, if you like them, an awesome, legendary pop-punk band. They released this song just like a month ago, the song and the video, and it's called Alexa Bliss. I've always been a huge fan of Bowling for Soup, so whenever on their Instagrams and stuff, they start posting these teaser videos, hanging out with Alexa Bliss, like cooking and playing pool and shit, and it was awesome. So I was so excited. I thought it was going to be a The Girl All the Bad Guys Want, like 2020 version, because I saw they've been doing stuff like that on like live videos, but no, they did a full actual song about Alexa Bliss and about how they met and about how Alexa Bliss is actually a real life huge super fan of Bowling for Soup and how they're friends now. So it's a great song. The last thing I'll talk about is a game that I invented that y'all will be hearing about and playing soon, hopefully, with the help of another podcast called The Lunch Boys, which they're two friends of mine, Jonathan Berry and Justin Rodden. They make a podcast during their lunch break at work. It's hilarious. You should listen to them, too, also on Spotify and Anchor and everywhere, all that stuff. Come back. So they actually helped me and talked me into making a podcast. Probably because they're tired of me talking their ears off about this. They're like, man, you should record this and leave us alone about it. thank y'all so much. This was the pilot of the Buffalo Creek Wrestling Podcast. Come back soon for my first official episode. It's going to be coming in the next week or so. I'm going to talk about the WrestleMania results. The Ciampa versus Gargano match coming in 2 weeks. Triple H said it's going to be in this undisclosed secret location, you know, no crowd, no one around, just a referee apparently, so they can finally call it over, the feud between Ciampa and Gargano. You know, maybe next week we'll be able to get a hint. I know we're all under quarantine and stuff still, but a hint of the work or shoot game that I invented, and the Chris Benoit episode of Dark Side of the Ring. See what I got to say about that. There was a time just a few years ago that I met the Icon Sting. I have a little story about that. And more, actually. So, once again, thank you for listening. If you have this long, let's collab. And talk about wrestling and watch wrestling, all that good stuff. Until next time, this is Sterling Bridges with the Buffalo Creek Wrestling Podcast. And please follow me at the BCW podcast on everywhere. And it'll be for the news and the advancements with wrestling world and my podcast, memes, and get to see the social media, Twitter, Instagram, people who I follow. And I try to make it interesting, not just you have to tune in for the show, but because I know not everyone has time to listen to a whole show, but just as a little community. Thank you again for tuning in, and hope to keep you all around. Thank you. Good night.